keep up with the Trump administration when you subscribe to the Trump Report. This email brings you daily highlights from the Oval Office right to your inbox 5 days a week. Subscribe to the Trump Report.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Quite frankly, it may not be that such a bad thing after all these days. But all in all, they want to make your life miserable. These are the people that are all about the preferred pronouns, putting these perverts in your kids' classrooms, and turning your little three-year-olds into drag queens. That's who these people are, and they are going to war with Chuckie Schumer. By the way, Kirsten Gillibrand, who is the junior senator from New York, she apparently was screaming so loud at Chuckie Schumer. And if you've been to Washington, D.C., you've been in the Capitol building, you know these are very well-built buildings. I mean, the walls are super thick. They have the giant oak doors. You can't hear any. You don't know what they're doing as they're smoking their cigars and they're plotting and conniving. And they said that she was screaming so loud you could hear it from outside of the meeting rooms. It's brilliant. So, look, we've got a lot of audio we're going to be playing, and a lot of folks are weighing in on this. And it is, you, if you're a conservative, sit back and enjoy all of this, because it is, what is the word I'm looking for? Delicious. As a matter of fact, would you mind bringing some A1 steak sauce as we watch? This is incredible as we watch the Democrats implode. And if the Republicans play their cards right, which they never do, but I'm hopeful, but if they play their cards right, they could be in power for decades. Now, that being said, I want to say something very quickly about these town halls that the Republicans are holding. And I know there was one held over in Asheville. That's near Hendersonville, by the way, North Carolina. We have a lot of listeners in that part of the country. And it was a complete free-for-all. We're not going to play a lot of the audio. There was a lot of screaming. There was a packed house there. And people were really unhinged. I mean, they were cursing the congressman. It was not a pretty thing. And people were getting up and claiming to be veterans and claiming to be Trump supporters. And I don't believe any of it. And it was terrible, this town hall. And basically, we've seen this take place in town hall meetings all over the country now. And the Republicans have been advised, don't hold the town halls, because it's a trap. And that's what these things are. Chuck Edwards, the congressman from North Carolina, walked right into a trap. And this guy, I don't get it. I don't understand why the Republicans are doing this. Because hear me on this. We have short-term memory here in this country. People have to be reminded over and over and over again. And the problem here is that every single one of these town halls is being filmed, it's being taped and archived, and it will be hauled out and used at the midterm elections in campaign ads. And what they're going to tell you is, and we're already starting to see this in the mainstream media, because the networks, they are so deceptive. They're telling you that these are Republican town hall meetings, and they're not. They're not. These are Republican lawmakers holding town halls in their communities, and they got to stop it. They just have to. Because these people are not conservative. You may have one or two in there, but can we get real for just a moment? I mean, conservatives don't go to meetings. They don't. And you know why? Because you guys are busy. You got jobs. You go to church. You volunteer in your community. You got other stuff going on. You don't have time to go to these meetings. But these radical leftists, many of them are now unemployed. Many of them are former government workers. They got nothing to do. And you got your riffraff. You got the folks out there smoking the two-piece, smoking the devil's lettuce. And all of these people, and especially in an area like Nashville or Asheville, and I love Asheville, but can we get real for a moment? It's sort of like, and correct me if I'm wrong here, North Carolinians, but Asheville is sort of like where you send most of your liberals. And you, I mean, it's a smart move. You want to sort of isolate them, and you guys have done that. You've shoved them all into Western North Carolina, and most of them live in Asheville. As a matter of fact, when you're driving along Interstate 40 and you're about to enter Asheville, North Carolina, you can already smell the patchouli oil and you can smell the marijuana smoke. I mean, it's kind of like the Berkeley of, or the San Francisco of the South, I think is how they describe it. So it's a radical leftist area. So for Congressman Chuck Edwards to go in there and hold, and I get it. I mean, I just want to hear from my constituents. No, these are not your constituents. By and large, they're driving these people in. And by the way, they're paying for these people to get here. We've been hearing reports that these are being funded by these radical left billionaires that are paying people to go and insert themselves and cause mayhem at these town hall meetings. So don't buy into this, folks. And your elected leaders, they need to wise up here. You got to play smart politics here, people. And that's the problem. The Republicans have not been in leadership long enough to understand how to lead and also how to win in a consistent manner. So my recommendation to all of you Republicans, don't hold these town hall meetings. By the way, if you got something to say to your congressman, call him up and give him a piece of your mind. Send him an email. But these town hall meetings are playing right into the hands of these radical Democrats. That's what's going on here. Oh, Scott Jennings was talking about this last night on CNN. And cut number four, please.
You don't think Republicans were prepared for unhinged liberal mobs? We've been dealing with this since Donald Trump won in 2016.
These are not liberal mobs. Believe me. These are veterans.
I watched a little bit. I looked at the questions. Why is he shredding the Constitution? Putin this, Putin that. One guy had to be escorted out. He was so unhinged.
That was the veteran.
Scott, if they,
it's a mob.
Scott,
it's a literal mob.
This is what you're saying about veterans. If if Republicans weren't so worried, then why did you have the Republican Party go out and say, stop doing town halls. Stop talking to real people.
It's a stupid idea.
They don't want to talk to voters.
Because
this is why you guys are polling so poorly.
We're not. Wait a minute. We're not polling. Can we just revisit the Democrat congressional approval rate?
Congress is polling poorly. Donald Trump is also polling poorly.
He's twice as much as Democrats in Congress.
40% of the American people, according to the CNN poll, says that 40% say that they care about him. And then you have a veteran out there saying, I'm a veteran, and you don't give an F about me. That is in line with how people feel about Donald Trump.
And if you want to tell your story about these paid mobs, and they're being paid, then you guys are going to lose the midterms.
And you know what? Wonderful.
So you're telling me everybody that's showing up to these town halls to boo these Republicans on these crazy policies that they're supporting right now, these are all paid. We're going back to paid.
It's unrepresentative of that congressional district where this guy got like 56% of the vote.
So was unemployment.
And of the state, which Donald Trump won. These are unrepresentative, unhinged mobs. I don't know what else to tell you. That's what they are.
And that's exactly what they are. So, again, the Republicans, you guys, and this is where you've got to throw down the hammer. And Speaker Mike Johnson was right to tell these Republicans, got to stop doing these because you're playing directly into the hands of the Democrats here. All right, look, this is also Open Line Friday, and this is an opportunity for you to call in. You can talk about whatever you want to talk about. By the way, President Trump later today going to be giving an address at the Department of Justice. We're hearing it might possibly have something to do with the Epstein files. We'll keep you updated on that. Our telephone number, and write this down, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Now, I want to have a little conversation. It's just you and me, ladies and gentlemen, just for a few seconds. I want to talk to you before we go to break. So I've been getting a lot of questions about food for the poor, and people have been asking me, Todd, have you checked these people out? Are they getting any of this the government money, USAID money? What's going on here? Because I'm a little, you know. No, I get it. But let me explain something about how we do things on this program. Any time you hear a sponsor on this show, that sponsor has to be approved by me. And I'm going to tell you, we've actually turned away sponsors because I didn't like their product, or maybe the product didn't taste all that great or whatever. So we're very careful about what we do here. I'm very careful about what I endorse on this program. And I never endorse anything that I don't believe in. For example, I'm drinking a delicious cup of coffee right now. You know what's in that cup? Wired to Fish coffee. And I'm drinking the coffee because I like it. So here's what I want to tell you about Food for the Poor. I have checked these folks out, and we did it last year before we even began to partner with them. These are good people. These are Christian people. And all they have no political agenda other than to feed the poor and to feed hungry children. That's their mission. They don't get a single penny of government money. All of the money they get comes from people like you. So this is why I'm really imploring you. And today we got to do a good job. I'd like to reach the $5,000 mark, and we can do that by just a couple of people giving a couple of $1,000s. But most of you, maybe you got $10, $20, $50. I want you to consider giving that right now. We're going to be reading out names here momentarily. But I want you to know that we need your help here. We cannot do this without you. I do one telethon a year. That's it. Except for last year when we had the hurricane and we helped out our friends in North Carolina. But your help really is needed. And I want you to hear what my good friend, Kurt Schlichter, has to say about it. You've read his stuff. He's a conservative columnist. He's a best-selling author. And he's one of those folks out there saying that we need to be helping people in our own hemisphere. And we do. So, again, it only takes a minute. All you have to do is go to toddstearns.com. There's a banner at the top of my homepage, and it reads Feed Their Future. You click on that banner, and you'll see how easy it is to make a one-time donation, or you may want to give something monthly. Whether it's $20 or $100, you give what you can give. Now, if you give $20, we're going to enter you into a contest. We're going to be sending one of you a huge Todd Stern swag bag as our way of saying thank you. Anybody who gives over $100 today, we're going to hook you up with a signed copy of my book. You're going to love it, and it's just a way of saying thank you. You can also text the word Todd to 51555, and I'm going to send you back a link to join the campaign. You can also call. If you want to call in your gift, here's the number, 855-353-4673. That's 855-353-4673. Now, look, here's the deal. This is not a three-hour telethon. I'm going to mention it every now and again, but we need your help here, folks, and I want to get the ball rolling right now. During the break, go to toddstearns.com. You click on that blue banner, and let's feed some kids. Folks, I got to tell you, eggs, they're still a little pricey out there, and it's going to take some time for those to come down, and we explained that earlier this week on the show. The reality is it's a mess. The economy's a mess, and it's going to take some time for Trump to work all this out. And then, again, the trickle-down, the egg prices will come down. What I'm saying is that you need to start taking actions now to protect your savings, to protect your retirement fund. And if it's all in a 401k, you got big problems. Your retirement plan is in jeopardy. That's just the cold, hard facts. So the good news is you can do something about it. And that's why my friends at Priority Gold are big, big fans of the Todd Stearns program. They want to give you a free wealth protection guide, a step-by-step plan to fortify your savings, diversify your savings and retirement with gold. There is no cost, no obligation. Just text the word Todd to 24999. That's Todd to 24999. Or go to PriorityGold.com to get your free gold guide today.
Todd, in regard to these disruptors coming to town hall meetings where Republican representatives are present, we need to do more than just say they're getting paid to disrupt these meetings. We need evidence. Otherwise, the left will just say, we have no proof.
All right. That was Ken from Richmond, Virginia, using our shout out on the Todd Stearns Show app. By the way, you can download that app by going to toddstearns.com free of charge, and you can actually do what Ken just did. He sent us a quick shout out, and we play those back during the show. Welcome back. And to answer Ken's question, President Trump himself said many of these people at these protests are, in fact, paid political actors. And we've seen this over and over again where they look for these people online. They're asking for people to show up. You're going to get $25, $50. You're going to get a gift card. And all they want you to do is disrupt whatever is happening at these so-called town hall meetings. By the way, I want to go back. Here is Scott Jennings again, cut number two.
I remind you both that it was Trump supporters who stormed the Capitol on January 6th. When January 6th happened this year, what happened? It wasn't Democrats storming the Capitol. Actually, guess what? No one stormed the Capitol this January 6th. And so
you look at the video in New York City today, the people who took over Trump Tower, the people screaming at folks on the streets.
People were protesting. They were not storming. They were not storming.
They stormed Trump Tower.
They were not storming.
They were inside of it.
They were not storming the. They were not trying to. They were not trying to hurt a member of Congress. There were thousands of people who were prosecuted for January 6th.
You may have forgotten.
By the way, all of those people that made it inside of Trump Tower, well, here's what they should have done. They should have locked those doors and not let anybody out. They should have rounded up everybody in those red T-shirts, and those that were, they should have all been charged with trespassing, but those who are here on student visas or they're foreign nationals, they get their butt shipped back to whatever country they came from immediately. Do not pass go. Go right to the airport. You're on the next flight to Gitmo, and from Gitmo, we'll send you back to wherever you came from. That's what we ought to start doing here and playing hardball with these people. But beyond that, I still want to know, how is it those protesters were able to breach security and get inside Trump Tower? That is President Trump's residence when he's in New York City. That's the headquarters of the Trump Organization. It seems to me we got some serious, serious issues with security to talk about here. I mean, geez, Lou. All right, coming up, we've got a great show for you. Senator Marsha Blackburn's going to be here, and she's going to give us some insight into what's going on inside the Senate. Chucky Schumer says he will not block the Republican funding bill, and Schumer is catching holy you-know-what from his caucus, and it is a beautiful thing to see. Also, we're going to be getting your calls. We have a couple of lines open, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And during the break, head over to the website and be sure to make a donation. ToddStearns.com. Click on that blue banner at the very top of the page, and you're going to be able to help us feed a lot of hungry kids. We'll be right back, everybody. Hang tight. A generation of children in El Salvador are lost to malnutrition, and the only way to a better future is through a school feeding program. Join me, Todd Stearns, in saving lives with food for the poor. When you click the Feed Their Future banner at ToddStearns.com, your gift of $100 will provide a child in El Salvador with daily school nutrition for a year. Call 855-353-4673 and make your most generous gift. The nutrition these children get in school is often their only meal of the day. Food for the Poor School Nutrition Program effectively addresses malnutrition and increases children's school attendance. Your donation will also support local farmers who produce the nutritional supplements that are needed to improve children's nutrition in El Salvador. Your gift will allow them to focus on learning rather than worrying about their next meal. Today, you have the power to feed a child or an entire classroom for a year. Click the blue banner at ToddStearns.com or call 855-353-4673 with a gift of $100 to feed their future. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us. Don't forget, you can watch the Todd Stearns Show tonight on Newsmax, 5 o'clock. We have a jam-packed show for you as we pay very close attention to what's about to happen in the Senate. I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to my Senator, Senator Marsha Blackburn from the great state of Tennessee. Senator, I'm wondering, have you seen Chuck Schumer today? How's he doing? How's Chucky?
You know, Chucky's having a pretty bad week. And they thought they were going to oppose this continuing resolution, which is a funding document that we will do to the end of the fiscal year. And this, Todd, is the way for us to say bye-bye, Biden, and get the Biden administration behind us and move on to President Trump's priorities and passing his agenda. And we were headed into what would be termed a Schumer shutdown. And I think the fact that the liberal media even picked up the Schumer shutdown moniker is what drove him to go to the floor yesterday and announce that he would support the continuing resolution. But this was only after they had a yelling, screaming, fighting conference meeting. And we heard it was quite feisty. But this is, they're not winning. And they are on the wrong side of just about every issue, whether it's funding or securing the border, Russia, Ukraine, crime in the streets. Todd, they're on the wrong side of everything. And I think that the American people are feeling like they have, the Democrats have no message. They have no leader. They are not responding to the American people. So their situation, they're just in a bad place.
Well, they are, and I'm not sympathetic at all. Honestly, they're the ones that put themselves in this sort of a place, and honestly, they've got a huge problem on their hands here, Senator, and it's a great opportunity for Republicans because you've got a far left movement within that party that's going to be taking control, and the American people have completely rejected that ideology. So I see this as really an opportunity for Republicans.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree with you. And while the Democrats are just having themselves one good old-fashioned come apart, it is the opportunity for us to say, no, this is how we get the country back on the right track. This is how we position our country for a better economy, for greater prosperity, for more security. This is how we guarantee that we can get ourselves back on track and keep ourselves on track, because the Democrats have no plan. And as they fought us on this CR, as they are fighting us on reconciliation bills, they have no plan.
Are you confident that Schumer is going to toe the line here and do what he delivered on? Because he's catching hell from his fellow Democrats. And it's not a done deal just yet.
No, we need to clear this vote for cloture. That vote is going to be at 1:15 Eastern time. And we'll be clearing, working to clear that vote. And we are hopeful that we get the 7 Democrats so we're able to move forward. Now, you do have some Democrats that don't want to get what is called a time agreement, which would allow us to collapse the 30-hour time period so that we are able to move forward on that vote tonight before midnight. And what we're hearing is there are about 5 Democrats that want to stay here in D.C. and rail against Republicans and use this as an opportunity to raise money from the radical left.
Senator Marsha Blackburn on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. You know, Senator, and I get it. You know, fine, they're going to do that. You know, I think the American people see through all of this. The thing I am somewhat concerned about is the level of violence. I mean, the rhetoric coming out of their mouths is dangerous. We saw what happened at Trump Tower yesterday, and I know that you were on Fox earlier talking about these violent criminals that are attacking Tesla dealerships across the country.
Well, yes, and we are quite concerned about that. When you are committing this kind of violence, this is not free speech. This is not peaceful protest. This is people that are trying to disrupt in a destructive manner and carry out violence against individuals. It is dangerous. These are individuals that need to be prosecuted for what they are doing. We need to make certain that law enforcement, those that are carrying out violence, are prosecuted in the appropriate way. And we need to make certain that people who are here to see us or are in D.C. or in these public spaces, Jewish students on college campuses, that they are going to be kept safe.
Absolutely. And yet we haven't heard, I haven't heard any Democrat leaders on Capitol Hill condemning any of this.
Oh, it's been astounding that they have not condemned this. And when you look at what is happening at Columbia University and you hear some of the students there talk about even the faculty and how they support this and how they discuss it in classes. I mean, Todd, what would you do if this was your child who was having to listen to this and put up with this every single day?
It's a fair point, and it's a great question. And then you look at what's happening at places like the University of Tennessee, for example, on the other side, where you had Charlie Kirk show up, and thousands of kids came out on the campus of the University of Tennessee in Knoxville to see that. And that has to make you feel good to see that the policies you guys are implementing have really generated so much excitement among young Gen Z Americans.
Yes, indeed. And to know that there are kids in high school and in college in Tennessee that are pushing to start these turning point chapters and to get involved with learning about the federal government, learning about being a taxpayer, looking at what happens with their hard-earned dollars when they get sent to the federal government. And I am beyond thrilled to see this kind of activism. I've got a high school grandson, and he is trying to start a Turning Point chapter at his school. So I think this is a good thing. I was so pleased to see the response that Charlie received when he went on campus at UT.
It really is exciting. And again, I think it's an affirmation to what you are doing up on Capitol Hill. You have really demonstrated and illustrated to an entire generation of young conservatives, hey, this is how you can take a stand. This is how you're supposed to behave as a lawmaker. You deliver on every single one of your campaign promises. And that's a thing that I think is very, very impressive.
Yes, I agree. And the work we're doing on the economy, making tax cuts permanent, making certain that we are building for a future economy where these kids are not going to be shackled with $36 trillion of federal debt, working to get that debt number down and address it, working to secure the border and get these criminal illegal aliens out of the country, get them apprehended. Those are all things that young people are looking at, and they're saying, yes, this is what I want my government to be doing for me.
Mm. And then when you compare that, and a final thought here, you look at the positive, the future-focused message of the Republicans, and then you've got Chuck Schumer out there calling conservatives like yourself a profane word. You've got the senator from Arizona, Mark Kelly, selling his Tesla and calling him a blank hole, calling Elon a blank. This is just, it really is such a stark contrast between the two parties right now.
Well, it is. And many young people are so drawn to innovators and to individuals that come to the table with ideas outside the box. That's one of the things that drew them to President Trump. He wasn't a typical politician that would show up and lecture you about what the federal government can and cannot do. He was somebody that shows up and says, here is what we need to do to get this country back on track, to make sure that we're safe, to put an end to endless wars, to make certain we address inflation, to make life more affordable, to look at the cost of living. and to make certain your tomorrows are better than your todays and yesterdays.
That's it. All right, Senator, I know you've got a very busy day. We really appreciate you taking some time with us today.
You got it. Take care.
All right, there you go, folks. Senator Marsha Blackburn. And oh, we should have asked her about the governorship. You know, that there have been a lot of rumblings that she may be interested in being the next governor of Tennessee. Look, whatever she wants to do, she's going to be great at it. If she's going to stay in the Senate, we are blessed. If she's going to run for the governor's mansion, we're going to be blessed as well. All right, here's the deal, folks. We've got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. We're going right to your phone calls. That's 901-260-5926. Head over to our website, click on the blue banner, and make a donation right now. Help us out as we raise money to feed kids. You can do that at ToddStearns.com. By the way, some important Social Security news. President Trump's Doge chief, Elon Musk, says Social Security, a Ponzi scheme. Elon says there's so much fraud, it's the big one to eliminate. Talking about the fraud. Rob Finnerty on Newsmax tonight warning that your Social Security may be in danger. Already Doge is slashing half the Social Security offices across the nation. Now, Rob Finnerty says that's wrong. Millions will find their benefits denied. You paid into Social Security all your life. Now, Rob Finnerty exposes the lies about Social Security and why it must be protected. You can watch Rob's special series on the dangers to Social Security at 8 o'clock Eastern. Find Newsmax on all major cable systems or download the free Newsmax app. Millions of Americans are switching to Newsmax because it's news they can trust, real news for real people. Folks, we have some exciting news about MyPillow. They're having their first ever mega sale. Oh, that was, we needed some sound effects.
Where did that come from?
Mega sale. MyPillow having their first ever mega sale on overstock clearance and brand new products. For example, Ben Dieter, you're going to need these. You need 50%. You're going to save over 50% on flannel sheets. Queen size bed, only $59.98. King size sheets, $69.98. And they sell out fast every year. So you got to get an order that right now. You can also save 30% on their brand new My Crosses. They're designed in the likeness of the one that Mike Lindell has worn every day for over 20 years. They come in men's and women's styles, and they're made right here in the USA. Get the 2025 six-piece My Towel set for only $29.98. Their quantities are extremely low, so you're going to want to get them now before they go. And I can't forget to mention the best-selling standard MyPillow. I have six of them. I like a lot of pillows. $14.98. That is a huge deal. So take advantage of the first-ever mega sale. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. That's 1-800-839-8506. But wait, there's more. Remember that $75 free shipping rule, Ben Dieter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that ship has sailed, baby. The train has left the station. Because right now, for a limited time, every order at MyPillow ships for free. MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. All right, welcome back, everybody. Let's go to the phones here. We'll start our day in New Hampshire with Dan. Hi, Dan, what's on your mind? All right, let's put Dan on hold. Guys, let's make sure our callers are ready to rock and roll here. Let's go to Jerry in Wisconsin. Hi, Jerry, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. I have to say something. As a Democrat, a person who has supported liberal causes, I've never gotten anything to say, do I want to be a paid protester at a town hall meeting or anything else? I mean, so that's something that's never happened to me. I mean, if there was all these, like, paid or, you know, protesters, I mean, there would be evidence of it. Just Donald Trump saying something doesn't make it true at all.
But Jerry, do you really believe all those people are Republicans?
No.
Because that's what the media is telling you. Media is not saying anything about that.
Yeah, some of them are Republicans, but Democrats can attend town halls of their congressman, even if the congressman's Republican, because the congressman represents everyone in
the district. No, he does. But the point of and by the way, our Democrat congressmen here in Tennessee, they don't hold town hall meetings.
Well, a lot of Democrats are going to Republican districts to have town hall meetings because the Republicans are checking it out. So Democrat Congress.
No, these aren't town hall meetings. These are, Jerry, what we're watching, these are political operatives that are staging campaign ads. That's what we're watching right now. All right, Jerry, thank you for the call. I don't know what happened to Jerry. Let's go to John in Kentucky. Hi, John, what's on your mind?
Scott, I just got two questions, and then I'm going to take them as for your list for your response. Great show, by the way. My wife loves you. You talked to her yesterday. First question. Remember Steve Scalise when there was an assassination attempt on him and other Republicans?
Yeah, by the Bernie Sanders supporter.
Right. And here's the question. With these town hall meetings, these congressmen, these Republican congressmen are putting their lives in danger now. So either they wear bulletproof vests or they have armed security within the crowd to expel these people. And the second question I have is with these Supreme Court rulings and these federal judges saying Trump can't do this, Andrew Jackson didn't listen to the Supreme Court, and I believe Taney didn't either, but that was during the Civil War. What would happen if President Trump didn't listen to these federal rulings, but shouldn't these I'm more concerned about the safety of our Republican representatives, and you're right, they should avoid having these town hall meetings, but if they have the town hall meetings, should they not have armed security and letting those people know?
Absolutely right. Yes. Yeah. John, that is a great point you bring up. And yes, the security aspect of this, and you're right. I forgot about what happened to Steve Scalise, but it's a great point. Some of these Democrats are downright dangerous. I mean, keep in mind, it was a Bernie Sanders supporter who nearly took out a big chunk of the Republican caucus at that softball practice or that baseball practice. So, yeah, I think there is a safety concern, especially when you've got people like Maxine Waters out there. And here's what Maxine Waters had to say. Cut 14.
I'm worried that Trump is on the edge of creating a civil war. He alluded to it more than once. He alluded to the fact that if he did not get reelected, that there could be a civil war. What does Trump expect? Oh, I believe he expects violence. I believe he expects confrontation. I believe he's working toward a civil war. We're not going to get goaded.
No. The people creating the civil war are, in fact, the Democrats. And if we could get Pam Bondi, somebody needs to light a fire under Pam Bondi. We need to get to the bottom of what happened back in January, the J6 riots. What happened? Who started those? Was this a government operation that went awry? We need to find out. But right now, the Democrats are laying the groundwork for violence in this country. It's already happening at the Tesla dealership. By the way, there is going to be a riot, a protest in Raleigh, North Carolina. These are happening all over the country. And here's Chuck Schumer. Cut 15.
To have the conflict on the best ground we have, summed up in a sentence, that they're making the middle class pay for tax cuts for billionaires, it's much, much better not to be in the middle of a shutdown, which would divert people from the number one issue we have against these bastards, these people, which
all right, stop
is...
There. Stop. That's what they really think of us. They're telling us. You had Mark Kelly, the senator out of Arizona, calling us blank holes. I mean, these are ugly, violent. These people have dark hearts, and it's horrible to say that, but you don't see the Republicans, you don't see conservatives out there using this sort of language. They are trying to create a very dangerous situation in this country, and we can't buy into the threats. We can't get pulled into all of this. We've got to take the high ground, but we also have to defend ourselves. All right, hang tight, everybody. Got to take a quick break. Don't forget, ToddStearns.com. Click on that blue banner and help feed some hungry kids. We'll be right back, everybody.
Hi, everyone. Tom Mustin here for the Legal Help Center. If you or someone you know were diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma within the past 20 years, listen up. You could be entitled to significant compensation. For years, the weed killer Roundup was used in homes, farms, and gardens. And now studies have proved a direct link between Roundup and this deadly cancer. So, if you or someone you know have been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, call us and find out if you qualify for a cash settlement. Call 800-266-6200. That's 800-266-6200. Time to file a claim is running out, so don't delay. The call is free, the consultation is free, and you can find out if you qualify for a monetary reward. Call 800-266-6200. That's 800-266-6200. Call now. Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
You know, it's fascinating. I was watching a news report yesterday, and this story has really gone viral on the socials. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy Friday to you, Open Line Friday, and we're excited to have all of you guys with us. This story from Baltimore, a 15 underage thugs savagely beat a white boy, a 12-year-old. There's video of the entire attack, and it is so awful. I'm shocked they didn't beat this kid to death. And the good news here is that the child did survive, but I can't even again, the bruises and the cuts, those injuries are going to heal, but I can't even begin to imagine you're a 12-year-old kid and you nearly get beaten to death by 15 boys. They pulled down the kid's pants. So not only did they beat him up, they took away his pants. They stripped the kid. I mean, this is like savage stuff you would see in some sort of third world country. They threw the little boy on the ground. They punched him. They beat him. They kicked the child. All of this apparently stems from something that the 12-year-old told some girl. I don't know what it was, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't justify nearly being beaten to death. Now, the Baltimore police have been very open about all of this, and they say that 15 thugs attacking a white boy does not qualify as a hate crime. And it turns out all of the attack, well, I can't say that, because I haven't seen all the attackers. An overwhelming number of the attackers are not white. I'll leave it there. The father of the victim, Tony Longo, talking to Fox 45, says the 15 kids surrounded his son. His son's name is Kason. They were on top of him, brutally beating him. Whether you are a juvenile or an adult, there have to be consequences. But the Baltimore police say this is not a hate crime. And it seems to me, and again, they say that a lot of these kids are so young, they can't even be charged. So they're not, it's not like you can charge these kids as adults. But I want to know where they're learning that savagery. If you're doing that at that young of an age, if you're like 9, 10, 11 years old, and you're out there with your gang, your posse, and you're beating up, white kids, I'm not sure where you're learning that behavior. Is it coming from home? Because honestly, the parents deserve to face charges as well. If you raise your kid to behave like a savage animal, you go to jail. You go to jail. And quite frankly, they ought to put you in the same cell with your little monster kid. This is unbelievable what's happening. But what's fascinating about this, and I just want you to step back. And again, I think the interesting story here is, why is this not a hate crime? Because if you would have had a situation where you had 15 white kids beating the holy living daylights out of a black child, this would be the only thing the media would be talking about in this country. period. That's it. But there's hypocrisy here. But then again, there is a large swath of the media, and they don't believe, they believe the only people that can be guilty of hate crimes are white people. And I strongly disagree with that. But quite frankly, I'm not a big fan of hate crimes anyway. I think every crime is a hate crime. But if you're going to have them on the books, you got to be fair about how you prosecute people. I would contend that this 12-year-old's civil rights were violated. Will Pam Bondi's Justice Department get involved? Probably not. Probably not. Meanwhile, have you been following the story? Dieter, this is a crazy story. I know you're a runner. And did you run track and field when you were in college?
No.
In high school?
No.
So you're just a long distance, it's all about you runner.
Yes. I love marathons. So the longer the distance, the happier I am.
So there's this crazy story out of Virginia, and ironically, it happened at Liberty University. They have some of the best athletic facilities in the state, which is why they have the state championships there. And there was a high school track and field championship, and there was a girl, and her name is Alea Everett. She is a senior, and we've got the video up at toddstearns.com, and we have the video from two different angles. But anyway, they're getting close to the finish line. She's trying to catch up with another girl, and she goes and she uses her baton. And those batons are made typically out of what, metal? And she beat the living crap out of that girl right upside her head. And her name, the victim here, Kaylin Tucker. And Kaylin Tucker suffered a concussion and, I believe, had a possible skull fracture as a result of how the force of the blow. But here's what gets me. They're treating Miss Tucker like she's the criminal. I've never seen anything like this. Now, the NAACP is getting involved in this, and that's always a bad thing because they're one of the biggest racist groups out there. And they're hollering about racism. Now, here's what gets me, Ben Dieter. That's a stretch for me because both the victim and the attacker are black. So how is this the white guy's fault? I'm trying to understand that.
The chick,
what did we do?
Literally beat up the girl with a metal pole.
On video.
On video. It's very clear. It's not like your eyes are not lying to you. They're not deceiving the average viewer.
So now she's been charged, like, with misdemeanor assault or something. We'll get to that in just a moment. But here's what gets me, and this is classic. And I wrote a book years ago, Dieter, years ago, and I had this chapter in the book where I had been the victim of a crime. It was sort of a parody chapter, and I was trying to illustrate what has become real life here in this country. And I had been the victim of a crime. And the police came and they took my report. And when I gave a description of the suspect, I got arrested for racism and civil rights violations because I identified my attacker as being a person of color. and so my editor, as they're reading this parody chapter, and the whole point of it, you know, again, it's funny because everybody's like, oh, you can't say that kind of stuff. You know, when police put out reports, they'll give you the color of the pants, color of the shirt, color of the car. They won't tell you the color of the attacker, right? The person they're looking for, the suspect. So anyway, my editor said, this is stupid. This is not ever going to happen in the country. I think your parody is too far off base. Oh, it's not off base. I was a prophet in my own time. Mm-hmm. So now this young lady, Alalia Everett, and the NAACP holding a big rally, hundreds of people came out to stand alongside the attacker. And the poor victim, she's laid up. She's taken, what, Tylenol? She's probably got like a compress on her head. She's got a big old whelp on her noggin. And nobody's called to apologize. Nobody sent her flowers.
Wasn't this chick literally charged with an assault?
Yes. But they're saying she didn't do it. And so now this woman, the attacker, the 18-year-old, Alalia Everett, she's saying that she's the true victim here. She's the one who's really suffering. And I want you to listen to her. She actually posted this on one of her social media platforms, Cut 20.
Everybody has feelings. So you're physically hurt, but you're not thinking of my mental right. They're going off of one angle. A couple times hitting her, my baton got stuck behind her back like this, and it rolled up her back. I lost my balance, and when I pumped my arms again, she got hit. I know my intentions, and I would never hit somebody on purpose. They're assuming my character, calling me ghetto, racist slurs, death threats, all of this just because of a 9-second video.
So here's what gets me, Dieter.
Wait, so she's like, chick is physically injured, but I'm mentally distressed.
So you made me hit you. You made me do it. Isn't that what the men say when they normally beat up the girlfriends?
Mm-hmm.
You made me do it. So anyway, I don't know who's calling her. You know, I don't know. I mean, again, this is black on black crime here. I'm not sure why Whitey's getting blamed. I wish someone would explain that one to me. So anyway, this is really, I mean, people are really talking about this and trying to figure out, okay, is there something we're missing here? Cut number 21, please.
Portsmouth family says they're telling their side of the story in reference to a shocking incident at a Virginia High School League indoor track meet that left one athlete allegedly injured after she claimed she was struck by a baton held by IC Norcom High School senior Alayla Everett. Everett spoke exclusively to 10 on Your Side's Markeisha Jackson, who brings us much more.
The young athlete in question says there's more to that video than meets the eye.
Everybody has feelings. So you're physically hurt, but you're not thinking of my mental right.
Alayla Everett is a decorated athlete and senior at IC Norcom High School. She would have never thought her trip to the Class 3 track and field state finals last Tuesday would take a drastic turn.
They're going off of one angle.
Alayla visibly emotional because of this video from the meet. This was a 4x200 meter relay race, and she and a Brookville High School athlete were rounding a curve on the track when they nearly collided with each other.
After a couple times hitting her, my baton got stuck behind her back like this, and it rolled up her back. I lost my balance, and when I pumped my arms again, she got hit.
It appears intentional, but Alayla says it was accidental.
But I know my intentions, and I would never hit somebody on purpose.
I didn't have to see a first video, second video, 10 video. I know 100% that she won't do this to nobody.
Her parents outraged at the backlash. The IC Norcom relay team was disqualified.
So regardless of the video evidence on the contrary, and we're going to get into some more angles in a moment here, but regardless of the video evidence to the contrary, she knows 100%, she's certain that this was not intentional, that her daughter would never do this. I beg to defer, but again, we'll get into it.
Ruling that a local USA track and field official finds questionable. He says a play-by-play look shows that the Brookville athlete was running closely to Alayla.
If a person comes up on the outside, they got to be a full stride ahead of me before they can cut in front of me.
The other family spoke with the news station in Roanoke asking for an apology from Alayla, something she wants to give, but she says the other athlete hasn't been receptive, blocking her on social media, and instead the Everett family was served with court papers.
Okay, we're done here. We're done. Stop. So look, here's the deal. You got to watch the video. We have that video from two different angles. And it is very clear to me when you see this video that she was intentionally trying to hit this child. That's what it certainly looks like to me. But again, if you want to find out who the true victim here is, I would encourage you to go to our website and look at the video for yourself. But the broader story here is something is going on in high school and middle school athletics that the kids are now emulating a lot of the violence we are seeing in professional sports. Also this week in Michigan, you had a situation where you had two basketball teams in a competition, and the players from the opposing team attacked fans. There was another basketball event where they attacked coaches and players, literally attacked an old referee. They were throwing bottles. They were throwing garbage. Somebody threw a basketball and literally nailed the referee in the head. The police had to come in and physically escort the referee out of the basketball arena. Something's going on here. There is no sportsmanship out there. Or are we teaching that these days? Are we teaching that, or are we teaching kids to act like a lot of these professional thugs in professional sports? Anyway, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is Open Line Friday on the Todd Stern Show.
President Trump is moving at lightning speed.
And after that, all hell is going to break out.
Executive orders, new policies, promises kept. It's hard to keep up until now. Subscribe to the Trump Report. This email brings you daily highlights from the Oval Office right to your inbox 5 days a week.
I will put America first.
It'll help you follow President Trump at the speed of Trump.
All right, it is Open Line Friday. Let's go right to the phones, 901-260-5926. Dan in New Hampshire. Hi, Dan. What's going on? What's on your mind today? Okay, let's put Dan. All right. Dan, good luck to you, my friend. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. So, look, I want to go back on to what's happening with Elon and these attacks that are happening at Tesla dealerships. This is just absolutely insane. And the Democrats are out there, and they're targeting all of the businesses owned by Elon Musk, these Tesla dealerships, the charging stations, and even the Tesla car owners have been targeted. We told you about what happened in Salem, Oregon. Our friends over at KYKN, a dealership there hit by multiple rounds of gunfire, a number of cars damaged. There was another dealership that was hit with a Molotov cocktail. We also understand that in Massachusetts, they had set these charging stations on fire there. These are all hired goons by the Democrat Party. Now, there are some reports that these dealerships are being, or the rallies are being bankrolled by billionaire Democrat mega donors. Pam Bondi is stepping into all of this, and Pam Bondi is out there saying, hey, look, we're going to crack down. And we're going to be holding these people accountable. Cut number 11.
We have people we're locking up on that. We have someone in jail right now from one of the dealerships. They threw a Molotov cocktail through a dealership. They're looking at up to 20 years in prison. So if you're going to touch a Tesla, go to a dealership, do anything, you better watch out because we're coming after you.
Wow.
And
well,
if you're funding this, we're coming after you. We're going to find out who you are.
Well, good. I hope so. But the reality is we need to start charging these people under domestic terrorism laws. That's what we need to be doing here. Pam Bondi says she's launched an investigation into the attacks. The protests are having an impact, though, and Tesla shares dropped by about 32% last month. So it is, in fact, having some sort of an impact in on Elon. And look, why are they doing this? Well, the Democrats are targeting Elon for payback, right? What he's doing right now is he's going in, and the dirty secret here is that most of this money is being funneled to bank accounts of Democrat lawmakers and their spouses, some Republicans. We're spending billions and billions of our tax dollars on these far leftist organizations. They're using our money against us. So this is their cash cow, and Elon is now slaughtering their cash cow. So the Democrats have hired this muscle, and they're punching back, and they're punching back hard. I'm telling you, folks, I am really concerned. You know, we had this conversation with Senator Marsha Blackburn. I am concerned about the potential for very dangerous terrorist activities from these leftists. They are unhinged, and they realize that the jig is up. And if Donald Trump is able to follow through and continue eliminating all of this wasteful spending, if we're able to shrink the government, if we really are able to abolish the Department of Education, Let me tell you something. It's not so much the men I'm worried about. I'm worried about these radical feminist, these radical feminist women, these feminazis. They are completely unhinged. These are very dangerous people. So we're going to keep an eye on this, but I'm just telling you, watch your six, America. And if you have not already done so, you need to take an NRA gun safety class. You need to get your license, and you need to make sure that you have the ability to protect yourself, your business, and your family. Seriously. All right, got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Keep up with the Trump administration when you subscribe to the Trump Report. This email brings you daily highlights from the Oval Office right to your inbox 5 days a week. Subscribe to the Trump Report.
It was quite the scene at the University of Tennessee in Knoxville. Now, normally the students turn out for the football games, and of course, we've got the big SEC basketball tournament going down. But for a political event, you would think not so much. That's wrong. There were thousands of college kids turned out to see Turning Point USA, Charlie Kirk on campus. I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to Hannah Whitlow, who is the TPUSA College Field Representative for Tennessee. Hannah, good to have you with us today.
Hey, Todd. Thank you for having me on.
Well, that had to have been a pretty exciting event. What was that like being in the middle of the thousands of kids there at the University of Tennessee?
Honestly, it was electric, and everybody was so kind and respectful. We did not have any issues with security. And there were people that disagreed, which we encouraged. And there's just a lot of good open debate on campus yesterday and a huge, huge turnout for really conservative ideas that in this growing movement for free speech and individual liberty among college students.
What do you think that the turnout says about the conservative movement, especially among college students?
Yes, yeah, so I really think it combats the legacy media's narrative that conservatism is dying, because yesterday showed us that it definitely is not. There's definitely a rising demand for alternative viewpoints, and there's a growing frustration with the left grip on academia, and we really saw yesterday that these students want to get out and challenge those viewpoints and be able to express their own viewpoints and say that, hey, I'm conservative and it's okay.
Is there anything in particular? Have you noticed the shift over the years? I mean, you sound fairly young yourself. So over the past 5 or 6 years or so, what have you noticed about the conservative movement?
We see a lot of young students really reaching out to other young students and saying, like, it's okay to be like this. And, you know, we hold these traditional values, and it's normal. It's okay. And we want to come out and say, you know, we want this intellectual diversity. And a lot of students, you know, they live in the same economy that we do, and they go to school full time. So they want to live in a world that's thriving as well. So these students are really challenging the status quo lately.
So you've got the data. We've had a lot of data that's surfaced from the presidential election, and it shows that young voters supported Kamala Harris by much smaller margins than they did Biden in 2020. Why do you think that is? What are the factors that are moving young people to the conservative movement, to the Republican Party?
Yeah, so I think when Biden came on the scene, in the presidential scene in 2020, he kind of gave this moderate image, and by the end of 2024, students were completely disillusioned with it. And then Kamala Harris came on, and she was further to the left than Biden. And it really just shows the Democratic Party's failure to address key issues like inflation, crime, and student loan debt in a way that resonates with young voters. And then we have Charlie Kirk, who really knows how to speak to them in a kind and respectful way and encourage their differing viewpoints from their professors and their liberal counterparts.
So what would you say are the top concerns, the top issues for voters and young voters in Tennessee?
Yeah, so a lot of young voters are concerned with the economy because, like I said, they live in the same economy we do, and they do have a lot on their plate. I hear a lot about the concern of free speech because they are oppressed in the classroom, and a lot of them are judged differently from their professors based on their viewpoint. I've had students tell me in, like, sociology classes, for example, they have to answer the questions the way the professor wants them to, even if they don't agree with it or if they know it's not right. So there's a strong pushback against censorship and ideological conformity on campuses right now, and we really just want to encourage that and bring free speech back to campus.
Well, Hannah, we're very excited, and congratulations. What a big day there at the University of Tennessee at Knoxville. And it was always great. It's always great to see that beautiful color of orange, a sea of orange.
Absolutely. It was such a good time yesterday. And we encourage anybody in the country, any young students, to get involved with their local Turning Point chapter.
All right. Hannah Whitlow, ladies and gentlemen, the TPUSA College field rep for the great state of Tennessee. Thank you very much, Hannah, and we wish you guys nothing but the best. All right, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. We are waiting for the Senate to have that cloture vote. That should be happening any moment now. We're keeping an eye on that for you. And once that happens, we could expect some sort of a vote sometime by this evening. We shall see. Democrats certainly not very happy right now. I want to play some audio from J.D. Vance, the vice president. He is really masterful at dealing with these debaters, and there's been a lot of anger directed at the administration for ordering the deportation of Mahmoud Khalil. Now, Khalil is the guy at Columbia University who has vowed to eradicate Western civilization, and we don't want that kind of a person living in America, so we're sending this guy back to wherever he came from. Here is J.D. Vance on that issue about free speech. Cut number 8.
A green card holder, even if I might like that green card holder, doesn't have an indefinite right to be in the United States of America, right? American citizens have different rights from people who have green cards, from people who have student visas. And so my attitude on this is, this is not fundamentally about free speech. And to me, yes, it's about national security, but it's also more importantly about who do we, as an American public, decide gets to join our national community. And if the Secretary of State and the President decide this person shouldn't be in America, and they have no legal right to stay here, it's as simple as that.
Do you see more such deportations happening?
I think we'll certainly see some people who get deported on student visas if we determine that it's not in the best interest of the United States to have them in our country. So, yeah, I don't know how high that number is going to be, but you're going to see more people.
Yeah, I mean, and quite frankly, a whole lot more. I mean, I'm hoping we're talking about thousands of people because we know they're here. We know they've been led in the country. And if you don't love America, if you don't want to fight for the red, white, and blue, if you don't believe in our freedoms, then get out of here. That's it. Here's Secretary of State Marco Rubio, cut 10.
When you come to the United States as a visitor, which is what a visa is, which is how this individual entered this country, on a visitor's visa, okay, you are here as a visitor. We can deny you that visa. We can deny you that if you tell us when you apply, hi, I'm trying to get into the United States on a student visa. I am a big supporter of Hamas, a murderous, barbaric group that kidnaps children, that rapes teenage girls, that takes hostages, that allows them to die in captivity, that returns more bodies than live hostages. If you tell us that you are in favor of a group like this, and if you tell us when you apply for your visa, and by the way, I intend to come to your country as a student, and rile up all kinds of anti-Jewish student, anti-Semitic activities. I intend to shut down your universities. If you told us all these things when you applied for a visa, we would deny your visa. I hope we would. If you actually end up doing that, once you're in this country on such a visa, we will revoke it. And if you end up having a green card, not citizenship, but a green card as a result of that visa while you're here in those activities, we're going to kick you out.
Yeah, I've got no problem with that, Marco Rubio. No problem at all. And by the way, this guy's doing a great job. Great job at the State Department. All right, I think we finally worked out the phone issue. Let's go to Dan in New Hampshire. Hi, Dan. What's on your mind today?
Yes. Thank you. And you're right. If you import the third world, you become the third world. And, and we can't back down. Even if we can't be act scared. Because I've been attacked a couple of times on the campaign trail, and I will never stop. I will never let them beat me down. So that being said, I love what Trump's doing and his people. Elon Musk and Doge are kicking butt. I love what Cash Patel did, arrested a state employee, Arlen Bramley, for changing people's voter registration cards to Democrat. Yeah. So this was in Connecticut. You know, this is off the heels of the election that was overturned in Bridgeport, Connecticut, for stuffing ballots in the drop boxes at the 11th hour. You know, so we got to fix our elections. We have to fix the elections because there's a lot of corruption going on, and it's got to be. We got to get rid of the machines. In New Hampshire, they never got the permission from we the people. They brought in the Dominion machines without getting a necessary two-thirds majority vote from we the people. They changed who could vote in New Hampshire from New Hampshire citizens, inhabitants, to domicile, which had no constitutional definition. Again, they didn't get the two-thirds majority vote. And then, on top of it, they changed absentee voting from they took off the necessary notarized affidavits proving who you are. Very important piece. So it's kind of, and nobody's accountable for the fraud. So it's kind of like a two-part theft right there. So we have to clean up our elections. So thank you. And he actually arrested three people last weekend. And the girls are doing great. Tulsi Gabbard and Kristi Noem. They're, Tulsi's fired a lot of people. Kristi's been arresting people. And but this guy, John Radcliffe, got to step it up. Tulsi's pushing him, and he's got to move it because he's holding her up. So he's got to step up to the plate. He hasn't done nothing. So it's terrible. So and I think you guys are in great hands as far as in the Congress. I just brought up my new 2024 voting scores, and Tim Burchett and the other guy, Andy Ogles, they're killing it. They're killing it. So these are A-plus guys. They're warriors. And Tim Burchett is the kind of guy that will never back down. This guy is the ultimate warrior of all warriors. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. And he's even called out the election fraud in Arizona. And where are the guys in Arizona? You know?
Yeah.
So that's, well, that's yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Super late for a break here, Dan. But yeah, it's a good thought you bring up. And again, we've got to get control over the way we do elections. And if we do not, we will be back where we were in 2020. And I still, to this day, believe that election was stolen. I believe it. And we've got to root out the corruption. That's what we've got to do. Dan, thank you for that call. All right. It is Open Line Friday, ladies and gentlemen. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. You know, I told you earlier in the show, this program is fueled by the caffeine I guzzle from our friends at Wired to Fish Coffee. I love their coffee. It is a delicious cup of coffee. I'm very particular. I'm a coffee snob. I actually drank a specific brand for, gosh, decades. And so it really took a lot for me to try a new brew. And I'm glad I did, because this is absolutely delicious. And I want you to check it out as well. WiredToFishCoffee.com. That's Wired, the number two, FishCoffee.com. It's a weird name. I get it. But it's a great cup of coffee. WiredToFishCoffee.com. Now, let me tell you something about these guys. They're also Christian and they're conservative. And that makes the coffee taste even better. I mean, if that's even possible. But I'm telling you, it's a delicious cup of coffee. And one of the things I really love about Wired to Fish is that they're giving back 25% of their profits, 25% to faith-based initiatives. And that's a pretty awesome thing. By the way, use my code STARNS today. You're going to get 10% off your first order. Again, 10% off your first order. It's super economical, folks. I know everybody's penny pinching. The good news, price of eggs is coming down. And this is very, very economical coffee. So try some out. You're going to love it. And then you can actually sign up to have it delivered directly to your home. And that's so super simple. Again, use code STARNS. Get 10% off your first order at WiredToFishCoffee.com.
Keep up with the Trump administration when you subscribe to the Trump Report. This email brings you daily highlights from the Oval Office right to your inbox 5 days a week. Subscribe to the Trump Report.
All right, welcome back, everybody. So, Mr. Sarah McBride, the congressman from Delaware, is really upset with all you Republicans. He's actually calling Republicans weird. A man wearing a dress and pantyhose calling Republicans weird. Take a listen. Cut number 9.
I appear to live rent-free in the minds of some of my Republican colleagues. I wish that they would spend even a fraction of the time that they spend thinking about me, thinking about how to lower the costs for American families. I wish they would spend a fraction of the time that they spend thinking about me, figuring out how to make government actually work better, rather than making it work worse in order to prove that government can't work. They are obsessed with culture war issues. The Republican Party is obsessed with culture war issues. It is weird and it is bizarre. And the American people deserve serious legislators, serious elected officials who are focused on bringing people together to deliver real results for the American people, not to play games and not to engage in schoolyard taunts.
Excuse me, Congressman, I think your girdle's showing there a little. I want to fix that. Maybe you accidentally pantyhose too. I think when you had to go to the bathroom, you kind of stuffed your if you could fix that, please. You know, I find it interesting. This guy talking about the Republicans being obsessed with culture war issues. This is the man whose entire campaign was running on transgenderism. That was his entire message to get elected from the state of Delaware. I don't know what's wrong with the good people of Delaware, but that's who you wanted. And this guy was completely obsessed with the Panthers. Remember that? Before the guy even took office, he was all over the fact that he wasn't able to use the ladies' bathrooms up on Capitol Hill. How dare you tell me where I can go pee? Who do you think you are, sir? Who left the... Okay, all right. Which one of you transphobics left the seat up? Who did that? I mean, this guy's all over the place. Mr. Sarah McBride, congressman. So, I sort of feel bad for this dude because he really did think that Kamala was going to win. And if Kamala had won, he would have been the new AOC of the Democrat Party. He would have been the face of the Democrat Party. He really would have. But it turns out that the American people have finally decided, you know, this transgender stuff is just kind of weird, man. And it's gone way too far. And why are you mutilating kids? What's up with that? Oh, by the way, speaking of this, Dieter, this is great. Mark Halperin, he's got a thought or two about pee booty juice. You know, we said yesterday that booty juice, we told everybody, booty juice is looking at running for president. He wants to be the next president. Here's Mark Halperin.
Got to say it. He's short and gay. So you can say winning the nomination, being short and gay, is a positive. And for some people, maybe not short, but gay is a positive. And I know for some people there is. But there is going to be a premium for the party in 2028 on winning, right? It's just like 92. There are going to be a lot of voters who are willing to swallow stuff in order to win.
Hello.
Because I don't like this fact, if this person can win. I've looked at the list of people who've won the presidency. None of them were openly gay. Three were gay, but none were openly gay. And so just a risk. And in almost every presidential race, not everyone, but in almost every presidential race in the television era, the taller person has won. The Republican nominee in 2028 will be taller than Pete Buttigieg.
Okay, which is about everybody. He's a short little fella. He could be like one of Snow White's friends. Look, really, is that true? We're going to talk about this after the top of the hour news. We've had three gay presidents? Wait, what? That's what Halperin just said. Who are the three gay presidents? Do we know? Is that information out there? I know we've had some short fellows, but I didn't realize we've already had three gay presidents? Come on. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926, open line Friday. By the way, head over to ToddStarnes.com right now. Click on our Feed Their Future banner at the top of the page. We want you to give a few dollars to our friends at Food for the Poor.
Keep up with the Trump administration when you subscribe to the Trump Report. This email brings you daily highlights from the Oval Office right to your inbox 5 days a week. Subscribe to the Trump Report.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. We gotta speed it up here. Dieter, we've got to send you down to the basement and to make sure we've got all the provisions down there just in case... The apocalypse happens,
Todd,
this afternoon.
Who's going to tell you?
100 million people are in the path of danger, of death.
We don't have a basement.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
So there is no. We have a bunker, but the bunker is above ground.
That's not good.
Yeah.
That's not good at all. All right, we've got to figure that out.
I have a shovel out back. Oh, I'm working on building one.
Can we get some volunteers?
We're going to need a lot of help.
There've got to be some KWAM listeners, hopefully, out there that can help us out.
Yeah, Dylan's like, yo, do you know where you're going tonight? I was like, what do you mean? He's like, you've got to have a basement. I'm like, what are you talking about? Turns out, Todd, I guess there's like tornadoes and 100 million people are supposed to be affected by these storms.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty bad, actually. And it's going to kick in, I mean, even here in the Memphis area. But I think, if I'm reading this correctly, it's really going to, I mean, it's going to impact a wide swath. But I think you folks in Alabama, Georgia, I know Dylan may be going to Dollywood. You may be riding a literal twister. That's the way that goes. So be careful out there, ladies and gentlemen. That's all I'm saying. And listen to your local radio station. This is why radio is so vitally important, because when the power goes out, you lose your Wi-Fi connection. Guess what? The radio station is going to be there. And I know for a fact that KWAM, the news radio station in Memphis, they're going to activate their storm team and will be providing live coverage throughout the night. So just listen to your radio stations. This is why radio is so vitally important. Not only that, we get to hang out with you. Hey, it's Open Line Friday. That means we talk about whatever you want to talk about. Give us a call, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. Let's go to beautiful New Orleans. Miss Janice on the line. All right, Miss Janice, you're ready for the storms?
I'm a little worried about the storms. I really am. But all I can do is put my shutters down. I have shutters on the windows. And so all I can do is just pull my shutters down and hope for the best, you know. But I don't know what's going on, Todd. This is crazy. This entire year has been crazy. It started New Year's Eve with Bourbon Street, with the terrorist attack. And then in Nevada, by Trump's one of Trump's buildings there, and they had a man outside the building in a vehicle. I think he killed himself or something. And then it's just been horrible, the weather and everything that's been going on. And another thing that's crazy, and I don't understand why it's happening. Now, occasionally, on a rare occasion, yeah, okay, you might have a plane catch on fire or a plane crash. But I was reading on my phone. I have an app that I recommend to everyone out there. It's called News Break. And you put it on your phone, you can put in your, you know, like...
Newsbreak, yeah.
Yeah, and it gives you local news and national news and everything. So the other night, I'm reading on Newsbreak, and I saw about a plane crash. And I'm like, wait, when did this happen? You know, sometimes you're reading something, but it's not current, it's something from weeks before or something. So I discovered it was from Sunday. Then I find another one. It happened Monday. And then, of course, we just had the other one Thursday. So that's three plane events with deaths. Some of them with deaths. People died in 1 week. It's absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, it's really strange, because I think in a lot of these, it just may be things happen. I don't know if, there may be some sort of a weird, strange connection. But like, for example, that yesterday, the situation at Denver International with that American Airlines flight, looks like an engine. They had a bad engine that caught fire. And, we don't have all the details yet. Let me ask you this, Ms. Janice, I know you don't do a lot of traveling, but if you did travel, would you fly?
Oh, well, I've never flown, and I wouldn't now. My cousin said she never will ever again. And I've never been on a plane. I don't want to be on a plane. But even if I had been before, I surely wouldn't do it now. Mm. I wouldn't recommend to anybody. There's a local radio host here. He has family. He's got a son and grandkids and all in Oregon. And he goes to Oregon. But I tell you, it's just, I hope nothing ever happens to him, you know?
Yeah,
it's crazy. This whole year, it's the weather. It started with the terrorist attacks, and I didn't know it, but I had seen that they had three New Year's. They had three lightning strikes at iconic places, where the towers had been, and a couple of other places. Three lightning strikes, and then you had your terrorist attacks, and then we've got this crazy weather with the blizzards and everything. And look what happened here around Mardi Gras. And then it's happening again tomorrow. And I don't know what's going on. This year is really odd. And the plane's crashing.
Yeah.
I just don't know what's going on. All we can do is just pray to God. Just pray that things will eventually settle down.
Miss Janice, always good hearing from you. Fear not. We're going to get through it. You're right, though. It is kind of weird. We had the blood moon here last night. Dieter, did you see that? That was pretty impressive.
No, I was texting back. What does the blood moon mean? I don't know. I feel like
there was a big moon.
Oh, okay.
Looked bloody. I'm just saying. Maybe it is the end of days.
That story on your website about the plane crash, it wasn't a plane crash. Let me back up. I don't want to freak Janice out any more than she's already. And I'm nervous, too. Don't get me wrong. But it's an American airline. They land, they descend, they're in Colorado, and then the engine simply combusts.
Boom.
And they say, all right, everybody out of here. You got to get off the plane. They pop open the sides of the plane, roll out the inflatable slides, and everybody just hops off. This is like, what, incident 45 this year?
So here's what gets me, though. My concern is this. So the engine is burning. The people are standing on the wings. Do they not understand where the fuel is stored on that aircraft? They're literally standing on gasoline.
Yeah.
I don't get that, but yeah, that was kind of weird. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, it is kind of weird. Let's go to Kyle in Memphis. Hey, Kyle, what's going on?
Hey, Todd. Hey, man. Yeah, I was just going to touch on a little bit there of what you had just a little while ago. You aired the footage there of that Democrat representative talking about how, you know, the Republicans or conservatives or whatever are obsessed with the culture war, so to speak. And it's just so it's just ironic that, the left is responsible for attempting to actually radically change the culture over the last decade. So I just find that funny. Essentially, what had been going on prior to, say, Obama coming in office was that corporate America in general was, running the typical kind of capitalist American status quo in terms of just production, sales, profit, and repeat. Production, sales, profit, and you work hard no matter what your skin color is, no matter if you're a man or woman, you work hard and you want to produce and make sales and profit and production. That's all that's necessary. That's all that's needed. Well, sometime during the Obama administration, you had these nameless, faceless sort of ideologues that started popping up actually over in Europe that began to kind of pass along these weird progressive ideals that have nothing to do with meritocracy and profit and production and everything to do with identity politics and all of these weird things. Basically, how I started really kind of looking into this just a few weeks ago, there was a Mike Rowe podcast on. He had a guy from Bud Light, Anheuser-Busch, who has written a book recently, and he has come out and admitted all of these things that was happening with the Dylan Mulvaney can a few years ago. That was not a a true desired position of the quote unquote American Bud Light stereotypical kind of beer. Now, this, all of that was not their decision. They were being pressured and brainwashed by an overseas European conglomerate called InBev. And all of those guys are these kind of nameless, faceless European oligarchs that are obsessed with all of these progressive ideals. And they have, for years and years, they've already infected the universities and institutions in Europe. And they just simply wanted to start pushing it across the pond over here. And it caught on. And this guy from Bud Light was telling all these tales of how there was a lot of pushback from, again, your standard corporate American man and woman who were like, no, we just want to focus on producing a good, wholesome American beer and selling it well to whoever wants to buy it, and that's all that matters. But you have these people across in Europe, these wealthy progressive oligarchs who, no, that's they don't care about the profit. They just want to change the culture. They want to inject this weird, quote unquote weird, just like this Democrat guy was calling the Republicans weird. All these ridiculous, unnecessary ideas that have infected the universities in Europe. It's infected the universities over here. So it came from corporate Europe.
Okay. Yeah. We got about 30 seconds here, Kyle. So let's get to what are you trying to tell us?
I'm saying that it's just ironic that you have this liberal representative complaining that it's the Republicans saying that they're obsessed with the culture war, when the culture was just fine until the liberals wanted to drastically change it. But check out Anson Fredericks is his name. He has a book written he's getting on about the Dylan Mulvaney can and how it has to do with corporate America being brainwashed by these European ideologues, progressive ideologues. It's really interesting.
All right, so folks. There we go. All right. Thank you, Kyle. Folks, got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. I feel generous today, and we're going to do a little trivia before we jump into the mailbag. This is a good trivia question too. So get ready. Earlier this week, I told you about a country music band that was told they could not perform a patriotic song on a national TV station. It was a great conversation. Can you name the band? The band we're talking about, this band was told they could not perform a patriotic song on a national television station. If you can name the band, we're going to hook you up with a great prize out of the Todd Starnes Show Prize Closet. Our telephone number is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And if you've won something before, you don't call it. Let somebody else win. All right, time now for the mailbag. Now, this is a little weird, and I'm going to tell you why, Ben Dieter. Normally, we read my hate mail, but someone sent me Diana Harshbarger's hate mail. That's kind of weird. So, we had Congresswoman Diana Harshbarger on the Todd Starnes Show, and she was talking about how she knew these were fake protesters in her district at her town hall. Because she said people in East Tennessee don't wear nose rings and they don't have purple hair. And that's true, actually. So this guy was really upset and wrote a letter to Diana Harshbarger and CC'd me, Todd Starnes. Wow. So we're going to read this to you. Dear Diana Harshbarger, you must think the people of your district are really stupid. Well, some of them are pretty dumb for voting for you and especially for voting Trump. After all we knew about him from the first time as president. But even they are bright enough to know when they have been duped and now abused. The writer goes on to say, I could go on. He was calling Trump Hitler and blah, 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 going after Elon Musk and blah, blah, blah. The guy, it's a pretty lengthy email. Musk is a horrible person. He has suggested bombing Mexico. He suggested women should never be qualified to be pilots. And he said journalists who criticize him should be imprisoned. Well, okay. I could go on, as there is so much more to say, but what's the point? You've obviously swallowed the Kool-Aid as commanded by your cult leader. And to make matters even more vile, you are probably one of those who use the Bible to justify your choice. And like I said before, even those who voted for you recognize when they have been assaulted. Signed, Paul. CC Todd Starnes. Well, all right, there you go. So that's your mailbag. I think that's a first for us. I've never read a congressperson's hate mail that was sent to us, I guess, intentionally. It wasn't by accident. The guy was pretty intentional about it. So, all right, we try to read our fan mail as much as we can, and we'll try to do some more of that next week. All right, let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. Let's say hello to Cheryl in beautiful Ocala, Florida, listening to us on WOCA. Hi, Cheryl. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you. Enjoying your show.
Well, thank you so very much. Now, Cheryl, we had some guests on earlier this week and a country music band, and they were told they could not perform on WSMV-TV, the NBC affiliate in Nashville. It's a beautiful song. And they said the song was just too doggone patriotic, too political. Can you tell me the name of the band, Cheryl?
It's the Duggar Band with the Duggar Brothers.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, absolutely. And you even knew they were brothers. Congratulations, Cheryl. We're going to hook you up with one of my books here. So well done you. Can you believe that, though? I mean, we played the song on the show earlier this week, and it was a great song.
It sure is. It sure is. Thank you.
Cheryl, what is that noise behind you? Do you need help?
It's a foster parrot.
I'm sorry, a foster what?
Parrot.
So really? So how does that work? Isn't it, you're taking care of the parrot for somebody else?
I am.
I've never heard of it. Wow, that's great. So does the parrot have a name?
His name is Alex, and he's like a 2-year-old. He's very noisy when I'm on the phone.
Wow. Does the parrot talk yet? Does Alex the parrot talk?
He does. He's a pretty boy, of course.
Oh, okay. So, I just want to make sure we've got sometimes the parrots say naughty words, but we're on delay. So, Alex is a pretty tame bird, you would say?
He is. So just be careful what y'all are talking about over there because he listens to you every day.
Oh, geez, a loo. Oh, geez, a loo. The bird's probably saying, geez, a loo.
We'll work on it.
That's not good. How long have you been doing this? Is this something that you've done for a while?
No, well, since Christmas, and actually 2 days after Christmas, the man that owns the bird died. So I guess he is mine.
Oh, goodness. Well, yeah, I guess there's nowhere else to go. So you're kind of adopting. I don't know if there's a process to adopt a parrot, but I think you got yourself a bird for life there, Cheryl.
I think so. He's a cutie.
Well, that's good to know. Are they're easy to deal with? I mean, as far as you know how cats are. You know, they're and I'm just wondering, is the bird easier than a cat?
They're all pretty intense when they want attention.
I see. I can imagine. Dieter's like that here on the show. Just want to point that out. All right, Cheryl, we're going to put you on hold. Congratulations. I love this. You never know where the conversations are going to go. I didn't realize you could foster parrot a parrot. So there you go. Dieter's going to get all your info.
I want to book the parrot on the show. I'm reaching out and scheduling this Alex the parrot as your next guest.
I love that. Well, that might be fun. All right, let's see what we can do. If we get the parrot to say, geez, hello. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. So, Senator Tom Tillis, you folks in North Carolina, your senator is getting a lot of hate mail. As a matter of fact, a lot of lawmakers, their phones are being deluged with vile, vile messages. Now, we've bleeped out a lot of this, but you're going to get a pretty good idea of of the kinds of calls that your Republican leaders are getting. This is all part of a coordinated effort, ladies and gentlemen. All right. They want to, well, I want you to listen to this, and then I'll share a thought with you. Let's take a listen.
Good afternoon, Senator Tillis.
That's how Northern Warbecks think about you, Southern white trash. That's what fucking the ones who won the Civil War think about you. Do you understand that in Syria, bad genes, inbred stupid, you and all your people.
Yeah, Tom Tillis, afraid of death threats. Then get the fuck out of office.
I would like to talk to Tom Tillis and ask him why he thinks it's okay for him to take money from this nation and fuck it over. Why does he think that he can tell his employers to go fuck themselves every goddamn day, all day long, and sell his goddamn nation out and fuck his employers over? Don't he know that his employers can take a fucking axe handle and cave his fucking head in?
And I suggest, well, you're going to have to be very careful about going out in public or talking to anybody that's real, that's an actual American, because we hate you.
If I didn't have a broken back in Southern California, I would spend the rest of my life in federal prison for a chance to cut your throat.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the party that espouses peace. Those are Democrats. And I'm telling you, you better pay very close attention here. You got to watch your back. Make sure you've taken measures to protect yourself and your family, because something bad is coming. Something bad is coming. And we know that because the money is drying up. Elon and Donald Trump are going after, and they're targeting all of the grift, all of the corruption, and their cash cows are getting slaughtered. There you go. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. That's just unacceptable. Unacceptable. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to Reagan Reese, the White House correspondent for the Daily Caller. Reagan, good to have you on the program today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And I'm just curious, are you guys, in the conservative sphere, are you guys a little concerned about the level of rhetoric coming not only from, you know, these regular run-of-the-mill Democrats, but also Democrat leadership?
Yeah, I think it's a really great example of what type of the state of the Democratic Party that they have resorted. Their messaging seems to be cussing out people and dropping an F-bomb and swearing at every opportunity they get. But I have been warning people, they do have some time to figure it out before the next presidential election. And so, once they do figure it out, I think it's going to be a real fight. And so I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't count the Democrats out, even though they look like they are just going crazy right now with all the swearing and cussing they're doing.
Reagan, and even last night, the vice president and his the second lady going to the Kennedy Center, they were just the booing and the mocking. It was just really, it's really sad, because there used to be something called decorum in this country, and you can't even go and enjoy a nice night out at the fair and balanced theater that the Kennedy Center is. So it's really unfortunate. I want to turn, though, to something that you've been talking about and really doing a deep dive into the borders are Tom Holman and how he got to where he is. And it really is an amazing story.
Yes. Yeah. So we had the opportunity to talk to Tom for 30 minutes. Do really get a really great snapshot of how we got Tom Holman the borders are today. And it really starts in upstate New York, where he was a cop on the St. Lawrence River. That's just makes up a chunk of the New York and Canadian border. He'd been fishing there with some cop buddies when a Border Patrol agent came and docked on a nearby bay, and they started talking. And from there, Tom realized, I want to be a Border Patrol agent. And that started his journey. A couple months later, he was an agent under President Ronald Reagan. This was 1984. And Reagan would be the first of six presidents that
Homan would work for. He tried to retire once after working for President Obama. He was known as the deporter-in-chief under President Obama. And at his retirement party, he's shaking hands, and his chief of staff comes in and says, Tom, you got an emergency phone call. You have an emergency phone call in your office, which is all packed up. It's boxed up. It's ready to go. So he takes this last phone call, and it's John Kelly on the line, and he's telling Tom, it's just a couple days before President Trump is about to be inaugurated for the first time, that he wants Tom to come back and lead ICE. And Tom said, well, I need to think about it. I mean, I'm retired now. I've signed a new contract for a nonprofit job. I need to talk to my family. And I took the weekend, and on Monday, he called Kelly back and said, you know what, I'm in. And that would just be the first time that Tom comes out of retirement for President Trump. He came out of retirement 8 years later, once again for President Trump, and became the border czar that we know today.
Well, it's a fascinating read. And, folks, you can read Reagan's great piece on Daily Caller, dailycaller.com. And it's a terrific profile. The name of the piece, Meteoric Rise, How a Fishing Trip and a Phone Call Made Tom Homan Border Czar. So you're going to want to sit down and enjoy that great read over the weekend. You know, Reagan, as we look at the White House, of course, today, all eyes are on the Senate as they, you know, get ready to vote on whether or not to pass the continuing resolution. What is the mood there in the White House? Still upbeat?
Yeah, I think the White House, honestly, over the last couple of months, even as they've had just so much to deal with from both the media and Democrats, has maintained this cheery, positive deposition. And they just seem to be attacking everything with a really positive attitude. And so even as the Senate, you know, has been toying around with the CR and kind of threatening not to pass it, they have seemed rather cheery. The president is on his way right now to the Department of Justice, where he is going to be making a speech alongside of Attorney General Bondi and FBI Director Cash Patel. And so from what I've seen, I haven't really seen the White House sweating at all.
Are we getting any intel on what the president is going to be addressing, talking about in that speech?
No, not really. The White House has been always, you know, rather tight-lipped about what Trump's speeches are going to be talking about. But, yeah, it's going to be a surprise to me, too, when he takes the podium and starts talking.
All right. Well, Reagan, we're going to leave it there. Reagan Reese, everybody, the White House correspondent for the Daily Caller. Reagan, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, there you go. Yeah, go read her piece over at dailycaller.com. That is a good read. You will enjoy that. All right, we're going to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. This is Open Line Friday. Again, that number, 901-260-5926. You know, I was reading a piece just the other day about yet another conservative getting debanked. This is nuts. You would think that the big banks would already have figured this out, that this is the wrong path to go down. So here's my philosophy on this, and it is taking some time to do, but our friends over at Timothy Plan, they are a great resource, primarily because they have rooted through and they found out which companies are woke, which companies are not, which companies are giving to organizations and to ideologies that, you know, you might be against. And it's really creating a sort of an underground conservative faith-based economy, and I'm all for that, which is one of the reasons why I've been a big supporter of Old Glory Bank. First of all, they're FDIC insured, right? So whatever your deposits are, they are going to be protected. And also, they're going to protect your privacy, your security, and your liberty. That's what I love about them. Dr. Ben Carson, Larry Elder, John Rich, they co-founded Old Glory Bank in 2022, and the bank now serves tens of thousands of customers in all 50 states. And I want you to go and check them out and consider making the switch, leave those big banks behind, and check out oldglorybank.com/starns. That's oldglorybank.com/starns. You can actually open an account today if you want to. You can put money into the hands of people you can actually trust. That's oldglorybank.com/starns. right, folks, don't forget, 5 o'clock Eastern, the Todd Stern Show. You can watch on Newsmax. Dieter, I want to go back to this Mark Halperin thing. I want to know who our gay presidents were. He says there are three of our presidents were gay. And I think people are saying James Buchanan is one of them. But I don't know who the other two are.
I'm using ChatGPT and Google. And I'm trying to, yeah, I see James Buchanan. JFK, no. Marilyn, come on.
Maybe he was a little, yeah, he was a ladies' man. He was a ladies' man. What about the initials B-H-O? B-H-O. What does ChatGPT say about B-H-O? We need to grok that.
Well, let me see. I see the rumors. Also, remember it was a big story where they were saying, oh my gosh, Bill and Hillary Clinton.
Oh, Hillary met well. But she wasn't
Hillary
the president.
Hillary loves a pantsuit, and you know what they say. But Bill definitely was a heterosexual male. Abraham Lincoln, now,
just
on the other
ask
hand.
Monica. Monica can vouch for me.
Remember they said Abraham Lincoln was also gay? It was the LGBT activist came out with the documentary on HBO, I believe it was, last year, because he just wrote someone. And like, he wrote a lot of letters. So they pulled all of these letters to some guy. And they were like, oh, he was cheating on Mary Todd, which was a debunked lie. So I think they're stretching. And I don't want to say Mark Halperin is stretching, but it seems like a stretch.
It does, right? It does seem like a stretch.
Names. I don't see why you wouldn't just drop the names.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there had been some rumors of a couple of lesbians in the first ladies, you know, world. Again, not to bring up, I don't think pantsuit is. I don't think Hillary was. I mean, there had been rumblings. Eleanor Roosevelt, though, you know, they were always talking about Eleanor Roosevelt. Let's go back and listen to Mark Halperin. This is what we were talking about. Mark Halperin weighing in on Pete Buttigieg deciding to run for president in 2028 and why that's a bad idea. Cut number one.
Got to say it. He's short and gay. Yeah. So you can say winning the nomination, being short and gay, is a positive. And for some people, maybe not short, but gay is a positive. And I know for some people there is. But there is going to be a premium for the party in 2028 on winning, right? It's just like 92. There are going to be a lot of voters who are willing to swallow stuff in order to win. They'll say, I don't like the fact.
Wow, what a poor choice of words.
If this person can win. I've looked at the list of people who've won the presidency. None of them were openly gay. Three were gay, but none were openly gay. And so it's just a risk. And in almost every presidential race, not everyone, but in almost every presidential race in the television era, the taller person has won. The Republican nominee in 2028 will be taller than Pete Buttigieg.
So this is interesting. My question was really twofold here. Would you vote for a short man for president? Right? I mean, when you think about it, I think everybody's been fairly tall. It was interesting. George H.W. Bush, I think, was our tallest president in modern American history. Maybe LBJ. But I'm just curious, would you vote for a short president? I mean, it's funny that Halperin, who's actually he's a middle of the road guy. Well, he leans left, but he means well. But I'm curious to his point, he's saying basically Pete Buttigieg has two strikes against him. Number one being gay and number two being short. But I wonder which is the worst. I mean, in the minds of the voters, you see, I'm not even sure that really plays in anything unless that becomes the campaign issue. I'm just curious. Hey, let's go to the phone lines. Jim from Jackson, Tennessee. Hi, Jim. What's on your mind today?
Well, good afternoon, sir. That's my AKA for today. I want to say, after you play those audio bites of the Democrats that's so angry, and there's just a thought, there's been some suggestion of taking fluoride out of city water. And I think maybe they should do that, but replace it with Valium so that some of these folks can relax a little bit and get a grip on what's going on, really, like relax a little and not have such a knee-jerk emotional reaction, you know. And maybe we could get a bill started like that, replace fluoride with Valium for.
Jim, I think we ought to do that for everybody. I like that idea.
Hey, let's see. Maybe we can get something going here.
I love it.
Have a blessed weekend.
Jim, you do as well. Be safe. Those tornadoes are going to be spinning up soon, so you be safe out there in Jackson. Great area, by the way. But, man, the tornadoes love Jackson for some reason. Oh, by the way, Dieter, Jasmine Crockett, she's very concerned about the illegals, Jasmine is. She's concerned because if we get rid of them, there won't be anybody to pick our crops. Let's take a listen. Cut 7.
Many of you are sending your kids to college to go and work on them. Okay, well, guess who is working the farms? So that you can afford your food.
So that you can have food.
Now, how many of you are looking to send your kids into hospitality after this college education so that they can go and make the beds at the hotels? How many of you are planning to send your kids to college? Because that's what we do here. We send everybody to college. How many of you are planning to send your kids to college so that they can then go and build these houses? So the reality is that so long as we live in a capitalist society, there's always going to be someone or a group of people that will do work that some of the rest of y'all don't want to do. These are the people that are really making us great in this country.
All right, so again, looking at the numbers here, what I find fascinating is that about 44% of the farm workers are actually illegals. They're undocumented. And my response to people like Jasmine Crockett, which sounded a little bit xenophobic to me. Well, who's going to clean our houses? Who's going to pick our cotton? Now, I want you to think about something for a moment. Let's just say we get rid of all the illegals. All the illegals go back home to wherever they are, and there are no people to do those jobs. And again, if you're talking about 44% of all farm workers, oh, and the construction industry is actually, there are more illegals in construction than there are in the ag industry. So I just want you to think about something for a moment. What are we going to do? It is actually a fair question. You lose half of the ag workers in America. Who's going to be doing those jobs? And you heard Jasmine Crockett say those are jobs that Americans don't want to do. May I just posit this idea here? America's gotten lazy, very lazy. Americans, by and large, do not have the work ethic that our moms and dads had, grandparents had, great-grandparents had. We're getting lazier every single generation. And I say it's time to buck up. And you know what? If you don't get out there, and here's the thing, if you're not going to get out there and you're not going to pick the avocados, well, you're not going to have the avocado toast. I mean, it really is that simple. So jobs are out there if you want them. Folks, got to leave it there. It has been a wild day. Don't forget, head over to ToddStarnes.com. Make a donation today to help our friends at Food for the Poor. ToddStarnes.com. Go and check it out. Great stories, great resources for you there. Folks, have a great Friday. Be safe out there. And whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend.